Well, Happy New Year to all of you. Just a programming note, this Thursday we are having our regular weekly prayer meeting, but it will start at 7 p.m. We're moving our prayer meeting time from 8 p.m. to 7 p.m., and maybe you'd like to join us. Where do most of your problems in life come from? Are they in your relationships? Are there people in your life that irritate you and bug you and cause you grief? You know, the great evangelist Dwight Moody said this. Look at this slide. I have had more trouble with D.L. Moody than any other man who has crossed my path. If I can keep him right, I don't have any other trouble with other people. Isn't that true? We like to blame people for our problems, but oftentimes we are the problem. Our attitude and our relationship with people begins with us. And so our theme for this year is, what's your next step? What's your next step in 2020? And I encourage you today, as we study God's Word, take the next step in improving and transforming your relationships by being bold and choosing to be merciful in 2020. We're going to talk about what that means today. Let's look at Matthew 5:7 from the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed can mean be translated happy. Happy are the merciful. If you want to be happy in life, you need to be merciful. You need to be able to show mercy to those around you, especially the people you hang out with all the time, you know, family, friends, and co-workers. When you look up mercy in Scripture, the word mercy is repeated over and over in Scripture, but oftentimes, most of the time, the context of mercy is a person asking God for mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful. Don't punish me. Don't smite me. Don't torture me. But in the New Testament, in the Beatitudes, Jesus is saying, I want you to be like God. I want you to show mercy to those around you. You want a healthier, happier relationship? Show mercy. You want to really shake up your attitude towards life and the outlook of your life? You want a better life, a happier life? You show mercy, especially to those that trouble you and irritate you, those that bug you. And so my first point says this, show mercy or go crazy. Show mercy or go crazy. What's eating you up these days? What's bugging you inside? What's giving you ulcers or twisting your stomach? What's filling your mind every time you lay down to go to sleep? Are you thinking about somebody you want to get even with, someone that did something to you? Ephesians 4:31, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Malice is, you know, you say things, you have evil thoughts towards people. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. Is there a bitterness in your life towards somebody? You're angry for somebody. They did something, they said something, and you're bitter. Is that bitterness poisoning your soul? Are you angry at someone or something about some injustice? Do you hold a grudge against somebody for whatever reason? Maybe they stole your boyfriend or they stole your girlfriend or whatever. They said something about you online. And so you slander and spread gossip about them because you hold a grudge. Do you thirst for revenge? To get even. You just want to settle the score, but it never comes. Does jealousy rule every part of your heart? Jealousy and envy. You're asking, when's it my turn, God? When am I going to win, God? You hold those thoughts and you go crazy. You think, why me? Why not me? When is it going to be my turn to be popular and loved? These attitudes will torture you as long as you hang on to them. So why let them drive you crazy? See, let's say you're just waiting for revenge. You want a chance to get even. Guess what? All your anger and thoughts and negative feelings towards that person does nothing to them. They don't even know most of the time that they made you angry. They're not going to come to you finally one day because you've been thinking about it and torturing yourself so much and apologize and ask for forgiveness. It's not gonna happen. Why drive yourself crazy and feel this way? Bitter people are not happy people. I love this verse in Job 21:25. Another man dies in bitterness of soul, never having enjoyed anything good. Do you know bitter people, unhappy people? They don't enjoy anything good. It robs them of all the joy in life. And God says, you don't have to be that way. Jesus says, be merciful and you will be shown mercy. The answer is to get rid of it. The verse says, get rid of it. Treat it like trash and garbage. Throw it away. Get rid of the bitterness, the rage, the anger, the brawling, the slander, and malice. Get rid of it like it's trash and throw it away. Get past your past by focusing on God. Get rid of that negative thinking and feeling and replace it with kindness, compassion, and forgiveness, just like God did for you. So let's go to our next thought. Why should we be merciful? God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. In other words, what you give to others, you will get. If you give bitterness to people, you will have a bitter life. If you show mercy to people, you will receive mercy. And so the first reason why we should be merciful is because God has shown you mercy. God has shown you mercy. Let's look at this next slide. Look at these two thoughts on the bottom about grace. You've probably seen this grace. How is grace defined? God giving you what you don't deserve. The acronym is God's riches at Christ's expense. Jesus can forgive you of your sins even though you don't deserve it. That's grace, receiving something you don't deserve. But mercy is a little different. Mercy is God not giving you what you do deserve. We do, because of our sins, deserve God's wrath. We do deserve God's punishment. We do deserve death for our sins. But God does not give it to us. He shows us mercy. Instead, He wants to give us eternal life. He wants to give us a meaningful life. Ephesians 2:4. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. We're dead in our transgressions, waiting for judgment day, but God in His grace gives us eternal life. God in His mercy does not punish us. I can be merciful because God has shown me mercy. I know what mercy looks like because God has given it to me. I'm going to need more mercy in the future, so I need to be merciful. Even though I'm living the Christian life, I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to say and do things. I will need mercy in the future. The second thing we see, the reason why we should be merciful, is because God commands you to be merciful. How does God want you to live your life? Let's look at Micah 6:8. He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God. The person of integrity walks humbly before God and acts justly and shows mercy. Showing mercy to other people pleases God more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. When you are able to show mercy to those around you, it shows that you truly have the heart of Christ in you. Just think of this past week and things that left you upset or angry or bitter or depressed. Think of some ways you could have shown mercy to that person this past week. How might I have changed your relationship with your spouse or your kids instead of fighting with them? Maybe you could have shown them grace and understanding. Maybe you could have shown them some patience. Instead of being jealous at someone at work because they got a promotion, God wants you to congratulate them, to be happy for them. Change that attitude from negative to positive. Make you happier. Everything God has given us, He wants us to give to other people. God wants us to love. Pass on that love. God forgives us, so we need to forgive other people. God has shown mercy. We need to show mercy to people and let go of those things that bug us. Let go of the pain. Let the love of God flow through you, and you will be filled with joy. You'll be happier. You will be blessed. So let's talk about what that mercy looks like. Romans 12:17 is a great verse on the attitude and actions of mercy. Every believer should follow Romans 12, 17 through 21 to understand mercy. Verse 17, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Isn't that what revenge is about? You want to do evil to them because they did evil? Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody, even when they're not looking. Verse 18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Don't pick fights. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not overcome evil, but overcome evil with good. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that a whole different way of thinking? You know, you watch politics, which is on all the time now. All you see is hate, anger, my way or the highway. I am right, you are wrong. We want our way. But mercy is different. Wouldn't the world be a happier place if we showed more mercy? When you show mercy to another person, it opens the door for that person to be transformed, to hear God's word. Instead of them being defensive, they can choose to change. Instead of trying to defend themselves, they can look to God. You know, mercy is like a diamond. It's multifaceted. It's different. The way you show mercy will be different than the way I show mercy based on our personality. So let's look at five different ways you might express mercy this week. The first one is being patient with people's quirks. You guys are quirky. Have I ever told you that? I've known some of you for 50, 60 years, and you got quirks and attitudes and personalities, and you're different. Sometimes the quirks are very positive. Sometimes they're weird. We have quirks and personalities, and sometimes they can annoy us. Oftentimes we have quirks that we don't even realize we have, and we don't realize that we are bugging other people. I was in a seminary class. Can't remember what class it was, but it was a 5-hour class every Monday night, 5 hours long. And so I'm telling you, you're studying Old Testament theology. 5 hours is a long lecture. And so we get breaks. And so the last break, there's an hour and a half still to go. So I got to do something to wake myself up. So we talk and we go on a break. And when I come back from my break, every time I would do this, because I had shaken hands with people and touched doors, I would get my hand sanitizer out. Because I'm a germaphobe. That's one of my quirks. I admit it. And I would cleanse my hands. And then I would reach back into my briefcase and pull out my bag of chips to eat for the last hour to stay awake. And so I did this every... I'm a creature of habit. I would do this every other Monday when we had class. About the fifth Monday, the guy next to me goes, I can't stand it when you do that. I mean, he doesn't say, Terry, can you stop doing that? I mean, out loud, I can't stand the smell of the hand sanitizer drives me crazy, and the bag crinkling is driving me crazy. And I'm like, I mean, it's not like I was clipping my toenails and they were flying, and they were flying on him. I couldn't understand that. But he's like, I can't stand it. He sits here like this on the table. I'm like, what do you say? I mean, there's a bunch of other chairs. There's like, it's not full. We could have sat 10 miles over here. I guess I was quirky and it drove him crazy. And so the next time, next class, I'm ornery. I'm sorry. That's my other quirk. So I wait till he looks at me. Then I start reaching into the... It was funny. And it was funny because he was Chinese and he was studying to be a pastor. And I thought, oh, I like this guy. Maybe sometime we'll do ministry together. Well, he's done. He's dead to me now. Because, man, that really bugs you? I mean, I got some annoying quirks that really bug you. You know, instead of constantly criticizing people for their quirks, we recognize that that's how God made them. That's how God gave them. They're works of arts, and God gave them those personalities and quirks. You know, I look at my 6 grandkids, and they're all different. I mean, they're quirky. You know, they have different things that make them happy and sad, and they act certain ways. And sometimes, to be honest, with my grandkids, I wish they were like me. You know, my wife doesn't, but I wish my grandkids were like me. But I've learned to accept their quirks. They're special. Everyone is special. I'm going to embrace it and love them. So I ask you this, what person in your life has irritating quirks? God says, just be merciful and let it go. You can practice patience with that person. Maybe if it drives you crazy so much, maybe pray about it and talk to them about it with love. Or you just let it go. The second way we can show mercy is helping anyone around you who is hurting. Who around you at work or at home, maybe it's in your home, your neighbors, who is hurting that you can help this week? If you can't think of anybody, you're not paying attention. If you can't think of anybody who's hurting, you are not talking to people. You are not looking out for the best interests of others. Look closer. Watch where God is working. Proverbs 3:27, do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to help them. It's in your power to help them. God says, help them. You cannot love your neighbor without being merciful. Talk to people, listen to people, love people, and they will tell you how you can serve them. If you can help them, help them. If you can't help them, you point them in the right direction. Third way we show mercy is giving people a second chance. Who in your life needs a second chance? Who has burned their bridges? How can you show mercy and compassion to that person this week? Colossians 3:13, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love which binds them all together in perfect unity. You know, we're not giving people what they deserve. We're giving them what God wants you to give them, what they need. So we forgive. We bear with people. We bind ourselves with God's love. So who has offended you? Who has taken advantage of you? Is it something serious? Something serious that you need to deal with? Or is it just a difference of opinion? You know, difference of opinions are just differences of opinions. They don't matter. When someone hurts you, be forgiving. Maybe you need to stop taking offense to everything someone says. Just let it go. If it really bothers you, you go talk to that person about what was said. You talk to them with love. If you don't want to talk to this person about something they said or did, you just let it go and you forgive them. You just let it go. Don't bring it up again in your own mind. The more you think about it, the worse it gets. You fill your mind with memorizing one of these scripture verses like Colossians 3:13, bear with each other and forgive them. Instead of thinking about that person, you recite that verse and it helps you take your mind off of it. The next thing you need to show mercy is doing good to those who have hurt you. Now this is a really hard one. Someone really hurt you and God says, you look for a way to do good. You bring healing by doing good, not doing bad. Maybe you're suffering from an old wound that you have not been able to let go of. Why are you still hanging on to it? I really don't like the sermon because it made me think about all the wounds I have. I mean, I got scars all over my body, you know, from ministry, from being a pastor, from work. And, you know, there's hurts. And the sermon kind of like, man, made me kind of relive them all. Why are you hanging on to it? The pain won't go away until you change the way you think about it. The only way to release a past hurt is by showing kindness to that person. If you're unable to show kindness to that person, you release that hurt by showing kindness to someone who's going through the same hurt, maybe that you went through. You start serving somebody that was hurt in the way you were hurt. You start loving them. excuse me. Luke 6:35. But love your enemies. Do good to them. And lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. Because He is the kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Now this is really hard. How do you show kindness to someone who hurt you? As a pastor, I've been deeply hurt by situations and circumstances. I've felt that I was used by people in some instances to really help them and pour my life into them. And then they kind of like ignored me for the rest of their lives until there was another problem and then they wanted help again. I was sharing this week with someone about one of the things that happened to me. I was doing a funeral, conducting a graveside service, and everything's going fine. You know, my goal when I do a service, when I do a funeral, is to help the family, make sure everything runs well, no surprises. And then as they were laying flowers on the casket and I'm standing there, this person who has irritated me in the past, it's not the first time, he says out loud, "You're doing it wrong." I'm like, "Really? You know, you're blah, 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 blah." He just started barking. I'm like, "We're having a graveside service." And he decides that he knows everything because he's done so many funerals, and he's telling me I'm doing it wrong. I wasn't actually hurt. I was just mad. I mean, it's like, wow, someone actually said that out loud? I mean, I was so mad, I had this vision of shoving him down into a hole and asking the groundskeeper, "Come on, time to lower." I mean, I was like... But I also know in the future I may be asked to do a funeral for that person. You know, sometime in the future. And I committed to the Lord that, yes, I will. And I'll be nice. And I'll show him kindness because that's what Jesus does for me. I just have to think about what happened to Jesus. Jesus was hurt. People said hateful things. They lied about him. They used him. The people would come up to him, "Heal me, heal me." Then he'd heal them and they'd run away, never to be seen again. And so Jesus knows when I'm going to, but he shows them mercy. I can show them mercy. So everyone I have been hurt by, I tell the Lord, I will serve them in the time comes. Mercy is giving people what they need, not what they deserve. Trust needs to be earned. So we don't let, even if we forgive someone, that doesn't mean we trust them. A very important point. Understand that forgiveness does not mean you trust them immediately. That means if someone hurt you in the past, you don't trust them and let them hurt you again. If someone stole from you in the past, you don't put them in a position to steal from you again. Trust needs to be earned, but forgiveness is letting go of the pain in your heart. You need help forgiving and giving. Let's talk. I don't want you to put yourself in an uncomfortable, not safe position. So as we're talking about this issue of mercy, you need wisdom. Okay? If you want to know how to approach something, a situation, let's talk or talk with the brothers or sisters in Christ. I can do good for an enemy because Jesus loves me and I love him. You know, it's easy to love those who love you. It's easy to forgive those who forgive you, but to forgive an enemy, that's hard. See, you got to be more interested in winning people to Christ than winning an argument. We all want to win arguments. We want to win and be right. But we need to be more sincere, more focused on winning people to Jesus Christ. We don't overcome evil with evil. We overcome evil with good. The last thing we can do is building bridges to love the unpopular. The Pharisees questioned why Jesus spent so much time with tax collectors and unclean people. I mean, Jesus touched all the unclean people listed in the Old Testament. He touched people with leprosy, people who had bleeding, people who were prostitutes. He touched dead people to raise them from the dead. He touched tax collectors. He touched unpopular people. Old Testament law says that if you touch these people, you are unclean. But on the other hand, Jesus touched these people and made them clean. Matthew 9:12. On hearing this, Jesus said, "Is not the healthy..." The Pharisees were criticizing him for touching these people. Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Our mission is to the unpopular. When we look out for the unpopular and love them, when we build bridges to the unpopular, this is what I call premeditated mercy. Predetermined that your response is not going to be anger or depression or run away. You're going to show mercy. You intentionally Build relationships and friendships with people who do not have friends, who are not accepted at work or at school or in society. You know, if a person is charged with first-degree murder, it must be what? Premeditated. It must be pre-planned in advance. And we need to practice premeditated mercy. We are ready and willing to act with good and not evil. Just think about people you know now. Who is that first person that comes to your mind that you think of as an outcast? You know, that strange uncle or aunt, that guy at work or the girl at school? Who spends their lunch breaks eating alone and doesn't seem to have any friends at a soccer game? What specific thing can you do to minister to that person? What can you do to bridge the gap? One of our sisters in the church came to me once and she goes, "I had a question for you. You know, at work, they work with a lot of Muslims and conservative religious groups and Christians and all sorts." And she says, "Well, during lunch, there's this gay person that works with us. And so she has decided to sit with a gay person, but all the other conservative religious groups criticize her for associating with her." And she asked me, "What should I do?" I said, "Well, go have lunch with a gay person. It's okay. You know, don't treat, no, we don't practice legalism. We practice love. The reason we practice love is bring people closer to Jesus." But this person was an outcast and unpopular. But God says, make friends, build bridges. You know, I personally know, what it's like to be unpopular. Growing up, I was not a popular person. I was not athletic or super smart. And because of that, I notice when people are sitting by themselves. I notice visitors. I notice people who have no friends. And so I always make it a point to talk to them and say hi and tell them, invite them to my small group. Come to my small group and you'll make friends. What specific thing do you need to do this week to bridge that gap between that person who may not be so popular? Will they take advantage of you if you show mercy? When you show kindness to people, will they take advantage of you? Yes, they do. It's happened to me. It happened to me again. I shared this story before, but it's a good point. Many years ago, I was in a parking lot doing something. I can't remember what. Kid runs up to me and goes, "Oh, can I borrow a quarter so I can call my parents?" Fine. I want him to call his parents. He took the quarter, ran to the arcade store, and put it in a video game machine. And I could have run over there and gotten mad and yelled at him and just unplugged the machine. I was tempted. But my response was, "Oh, well, you know, I choose to set my attitude towards mercy. I'm not going to get angry. I'm not getting upset. I'm not going to get depressed. I have personally decided that I'm going to err on the side of forgiveness. If I'm going to make a mistake, I'm going to err on the side of being too forgiving. I'm going to err on the side of being too merciful. I'm going to err on the side of being too gracious." That's what Jesus did for me. So I ask you today, who do you need to show mercy to? Who has hurt you deeply? Why are you still hanging on to that hurt? If you are, that's one of the reasons you are not joyful. You cannot be resentful and joyful at the same time. Your resentment will push out the joy. So you need to let it go. You need to change your focus by focusing on Jesus and what He wants you to do. You need to pray about forgiving that person. Forgiving that person may entail going to the person and forgiving him, or it may just be forgiving them in your own heart. Or coming and talking with me and talking about how you're going to forgive this person and I hold you to that commitment. There's many different ways. Or maybe you turn that hurt around and turn around to a ministry where you serve people who have been hurt. You cannot be resentful and joyful at the same time. Who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to show mercy to? Who do you need to show grace to? You know, we receive mercy and grace from God. We just need to let things go and let the Holy Spirit fill us with God's purpose, and you'll be filled with contentment. When you let go of that hurt, when you change it around to loving and forgiving, God will fill you with joy. You'll be content. You're not hanging on to the old. God wants to show you mercy. Maybe you're here today and you don't understand what it means for God to show you mercy. You know, God wants to show you mercy. He doesn't want to give you what you deserve. But we have to be willing to accept God's love, God's grace, and God's mercy. You know, as people on this earth who have sinned against God, and we have all sinned at one time in one way or another, we deserve the fires of hell, but God says, no, I want to show you grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. I want you to live in heaven with me forever. But God is holy. We are sinful. So God said, in my mercy, I'm going to send Jesus to take your place on the cross. If we believe in Him, we trust in Christ as our Savior and Lord, we will receive mercy and grace. So if you're here today, have you trusted in Christ as your Savior and Lord? Is it time to accept that gift of grace and mercy? Jesus sacrificed everything for you on the cross. He rose from the dead to give you salvation and eternal life, but you must accept that gift. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are objects of your mercy. We are objects of your grace. And I pray, Father, that this week we can truly, finally let go of that pain that's in our heart. Father, I pray that we be merciful, for you have shown us mercy. That we will be gracious because you have shown us grace. That we will be forgiving because you have forgiven us. Father, bring to our hearts and minds that one person that we need to forgive and show mercy. Show us how we can do it, how to replace those thoughts, those negative, painful thoughts with your love and kindness and forgiveness. And Father, if we need help, let us ask for help. We want to help all find peace and fill their lives with contentment and joy and purpose. Father, there's someone here today who needs to receive the forgiveness of sin and salvation that you offer us in Jesus Christ. I pray say yes to you today. We worship you, Lord. We thank you for being so patient with us, so loving and kind because of your love and grace. We worship you. We want to follow you all the way to heaven and bring glory to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a song of invitation. And if I can pray with you or encourage you or talk to you about what's going on in your heart, please come forward. Let's stand as we sing.